This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Today on the line, I've got August Claude Ngwertsop, who's partner and head of banking advisory at KPMG in Southern Africa. We are reflecting on the banking sector in Southern Africa there after KPMG released its inaugural Southern African banking survey there, showing quite a few things. There are banking leaders concerned about AI and digital innovation, ESG coming up, and overall are just trying to track how the macroeconomic environment is impacting, banks in the continent and how South Africa's banks fare versus the rest of the continent. Augusta, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Nolgando, for having me, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for your time this evening. Let's first talk about, the growth of Southern African banking here, Augusta. Is this a steady trend upward, even with COVID-19 and all the different headwinds we've seen around the world?
COVID-19 was just a blip, right, in the territory of our local banks, our largest banks. And, this is behind them. And what we're seeing is that they are back, not only growing very well in our local market, despite the economy, growing at almost, 1% only, they are having quite a success locally. But more importantly, where we are seeing is significant profitability and in growth is across the borders, is in the rest of the continent. That's really the interesting story, yes.
It's very also interesting as we take a look here at the fact that there are certain trends that the banking sector is expecting to emerge quite strongly. That one of AI and digital innovation, that's one that is going to be quite a disruptor. And those banks that can keep up will succeed in the future. And those who can't probably won't.
Yes, unfortunately, that's going to be an element that will separate the best from the rest. And even today, I know, many of our local banks are already using AI in the way they screen customers, provide loans, decide what to do in terms of investing on the project A or B. So AI is already present, it's already there. I think the digital part as well, we're quite familiar with digital banks, our Bank Zero Time Banks, we have this week Old Mutual Bank having their own license. So we are familiar with the banking, the new digital space having more and more banks growing up there. But what we're seeing from the survey is that AI will accelerate that disruption, and that will also affect, not only the banking client positively, but also the staff in those banks will have to adapt and become quite adept of using AI in their daily jobs. Yeah.
I want to speak also about, the dominance of corporate and investment banking as a segment within banking as a whole, dominating there where the growth may be. What that tells us about a retail banking on the African continent, or at least in Southern Africa here, are we saying that, ordinary consumers like you and me are well banked and that, there isn't much growth for banks there, therefore the growth is there with the CIBs, or is it all of it growth just CIB dominating?
Sure. That's a great point to bring to the fore. There, in the Southern Africa region, and we look at Botswana, Namibia, Mozambique. I mean, our countries. The market is quite. The frameworks used across the region are quite. They converge. They are quite similar. So it's easier for an FNB to actually grow a retail business, right, in Zambia, for instance. When you move beyond that SADC region and you go into, let's say, Nigeria, for instance, or Kenya, it becomes a very difficult conversation because some of those countries, you don't have credit bureaus. It's very difficult to, for instance, enforce cases where there are no repayment of loans. So retail part becomes a very difficult story. And then CIB or corporate investment banking is easier to actually get it work, in those markets, because you can fly in and fly out. You can actually even lend in foreign currency, in hard currency. So the CIB story is just a reflection on the fact that the continent still has very different framework, because literary frameworks, you know, across those markets. So it's really more a matter of when you have that converging, we'll have a better growth on retail as well. Yeah. So, but just to clarify, retail is still a very successful segment. It's a very growing segment. It's where the owned banks are, the majority. It's where the mass market is. And this is where, in the SADC region, this is where there are opportunities. But it's just that today, when you look at the balance sheet or more the return or profitability of our largest bank, where they are seeing the most profit and the most highest return on investment, it is on corporate investment banking, it's on transaction banking, it's on trade financing, and so on and so forth.
What is also interesting, Augustine, I must ask you also then, is about the prevalence of fintechs on the African continent, and that how that does impact the banking sector there. Because, of course, fintechs are agile, less legacy issues. And the fact that there's no credit bureaus out there, that might not be such a bad thing for fintechs, as they might have innovative ways of vetting retail clients.
Yeah, I think the story of fintech has been, of course, quite a successful one. Yeah, we've seen some of them being very profitable, even listing on various stock exchanges. So the fintech are there to stay. But the view that some of them could replace banking players was slightly overstated. Mm. They are not, it's not really in the DNA to do that. But they actually, of course, challenge some of the functions of the banking institution, the payment function, for instance, where fintechs today can process them more effectively. Screening of customers, assessing some of those cases, doing basically quick onboarding of customers, for instance, right? So those functions that were purely done by banks, fintechs are coming with interesting technology to actually challenge those banks. But they're not going to replace the banks. And in some cases, they will partner with the banks, as you were saying, or they will, in some of those cases as well, they will get bought out by those banks to get the technology in-house. So it's a story of more of partnership than competition, because it's very difficult for a fintech actually to replace a bank.
Very interesting. Before I let you go, keen to just get thoughts on ESG and banking and how ESG is weaving itself into the sector on the continent.
Yes. So from our survey, Lutano, what we saw was that ESG is... it's quite, banks are seeing a lot of potential success with ESG in the retail sector, right? So your mortgages will have more and more ESG element into it. It's already happening. So financial products for the retail are the one where banks are actually inserting ESG more into it. Just behind that, you have, of course, investment banking or corporate investment banking just behind. But all those are already having ESG products. So we know that if your local banks have already issued green bonds to fund renewable, for instance. So ESG is, although for a long time it was perceived as just a play out to be seen as being green, now it's not the case anymore. ESG is today really a part of those bank strategy, and the investment in people, in technology to get ESG efficient, more effective, is already there. So ESG definitely is a trend that we're seeing, and that will take more and more place as we move toward 2030.
Brilliant, Augusta. All we have time for this evening. Thank you for this very great conversation.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Wonderful call. Wow, that was Augusta Claude Ngustop. He is a partner and head of banking advisory at KPMG in Southern Africa.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.